Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
Well, I'm excited to welcome in one of my great buddies, somebody who lives like a millionaire in all areas of his life. He's a successful real estate investor, owns real estate offices, owns a lot of real estate assets, but more importantly, the dude is an amazing dad, an amazing husband, an amazing community leader, constantly gives back to charity, and he has a whole lot of fun while doing it. Please help me welcome Mr. Ken Wimberly!
Yeah! Hey, thanks, Matty!
How's it going, man?
Awesome, awesome. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for our conversation today. Actually, for those that are listening to this right now, Ken and I filmed an interview maybe about a month ago, and we had some issues with the audio. So we're going round two, 2.0, our conversation. And, you know, I wanted to bring Ken on to the show, one, because he's got some really exciting stuff that he's working on and, you know, the constant entrepreneurial evolution and endeavors. But I also wanted to really dig into your journey of, you know, living like a millionaire in all areas of your life, because I admire the, you know, quote unquote balance that you have in your life, whatever that looks like nowadays and whatever that means nowadays, because that's pretty tough for a lot of us. But, you know, you've created a really great amount of wealth in real estate. And as a business owner, you have, you know, got this amazing and beautiful family, and you've got a great product that you're rolling out that I'm super excited about to be using, being that I'm a you know, very intentional father and husband, and I want to talk about that. But it wasn't always this way, so I want to, you know, kind of rewind a little bit in your story and hear, you know, where it all began and what led you down the path that you've been on for the last, you know, 15 or so years.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. It, you know, began long ago in Texas. So early in my life, I didn't have a lot of positive influences. I was raised in what we used to call a latchkey household, right? Had a single mom raising me. My parents divorced when I was little bitty, probably 2 or 3 years old, and raised a single mom household. And mom was a loving woman, but she was also an alcoholic. And so a lot of her time was spent drinking or being out kind of carousing in the bars. And I just didn't have a lot of positive influence. So my early life was not exactly a positive life. It wasn't terrible by any stretch of the means. I wasn't physically abused, but there was just a lot missing there mentally as I was growing up. And as kind of a result of that, I kind of opted to kind of raise my hand after watching the movie Taps, Tom Cruise's first movie, about he's at a military school when he's just a little bitty kid. And so I actually volunteered or opted, asked my mom, hey, can I go to military school? I mean, I was craving the discipline. I was craving structure and something in my life. And so I ended up at 12 years old going to boarding school, full-time military boarding school at 12 years old. And it was much like you see in the movies. It was in some ways sheer brutality. It's kids running kids, you know, total Lord of the Flies kind of mentality right there. I mean, there was adult oversight to an extent, right? But the adult oversight allowed the kids to run the kids and to do so in ways that today would get you put in jail, to be quite honest. But that was my reality at 12 years old. And so I was there at Kemper Military School for 4 years. I skipped a year. I graduated a year early in 1988. I graduated from Kemper, and I was 16 years old when I graduated. And I did well at military school. I rose as high as I could in the military ranks while there. So I learned about discipline and leadership and following a schedule while I was there. and I did well academically. I actually graduated as valedictorian of my high school class.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor. Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
I always kind of give the caveat, it was a class of 50. So it wasn't like I had a class of 2,000. It was a class
of 50. Don't leave that part out. Don't tell me.
Still, so I was valedictorian at 16 years old. So that kind of gave me some confidence, right? It started to instill in me a sense of pride and confidence and leadership right there. So from there, I went to college, bounced around a little bit. So interestingly enough, I was a valedictorian in my high school and made a 1.2 my first semester in college. So there's a little bit of a gap right there. But there was a whole midst of circumstances that caused that. Anyway, so bounced around college a little bit, ended up at TCU in Fort Worth. And a year into my TCU career, we being the United States, went to war with Iraq. And entered into Gulf War I. And so I remember sitting on the couch and watching bombs fly on TV. And the next day I went down to the US Navy recruiting office and I signed up for the Navy. And I said, look, I'm gonna go do my part and do something and go make a difference in a small difference in the world. And so a few months later, I was in boot camp. And I went to boot camp at Great Lakes, Illinois. And from there, I went to, interestingly enough, I thought I was going to, that's why I joined the Navy, because I was watching all these SEAL movies at the time. I figured that's what I wanted to do, was go be a Navy SEAL. And I learned in boot camp, of course, the recruiters weren't so kind to let me know this in recruiting office, but I learned in boot camp that you had to have 20/20 vision in order to be a SEAL, which totally makes sense, right? But I did not have 20/20 vision. I was wearing glasses since like 12 years old. And so anyway, I couldn't pursue the path of the SEALs, but I was still in the Navy. I ended up being air crew and did Morse code intercept onboard EP-3 aircraft. Was stationed in Misawa, Japan for 2 years, traveled around the world, saw 8 different countries in 2 years. It was a really great experience to be out there serving the country. And got back, graduated college, went back to TCU, finished up graduating college, finished up at a 4.0 student. And went into the insurance and investment field and did that for a number of years. I actually interned in college there in the insurance and investments, did that for a few years. And because I'm a spreadsheet junkie, I'm a numbers guy. I got a finance degree from TCU. So I've always learned, love numbers. I would build for this insurance company. I would build estate planning modeling spreadsheets, right, to kind of model out how the growth of money would occur and how reinvestments and certain things would occur. And, but I just wasn't passionate about that industry, right? I didn't kind of connect the dots, was not passionate about that industry. Ended up deciding I was going to become a restaurateur and an entrepreneur and open a restaurant. I had actually delivered pizzas in college for this restaurant that had phenomenal food, and my buddy and I from the Navy, and we decided that, you know what, we're gonna open up a restaurant. It wasn't a franchise because definitely didn't have any formal systems or training in place, but we licensed this place that I used to drive pizzas for and opened up a restaurant. This had been 2000. And today I could write a book on the mistakes we made in opening up a restaurant. Much of it was honestly from hubris, from the two of us thinking, we got this, we can figure this out, we're going to create the systems that will create the franchise. And honestly, neither one of us had the background for it, and we could have used a lot more help. So, but our hubris, we did open it up. We made mistake after mistake. One of the biggest mistakes was, oddly enough, since I'm in the commercial real estate business now, it was a commercial real estate mistake in taking much more space than we needed and not knowing how to negotiate with the landlord to get that space divided and what we could have done in hindsight. And that ended up sinking us in the long run. Our expenses were huge. And although our business grew month over month over month, and by the time we finally shut it down or decided to pull the plug, our business was actually great. But we had just amassed so much in debt and expenses over the previous year and a half that we felt we were just so far in the red, we were drowning. And we made a really, really hard decision to file bankruptcy. And that was it was a miserable experience. And we filed Chapter 7 bankruptcy, both personally and for the business. And it was a kind of a humiliating experience. It was a grounding experience for
us. How'd you get through all that? You know, like feeling like you hit rock bottom and then obviously coming back into this space of entrepreneurship and giving it a go. And of course, if you don't have a failed business as an entrepreneur, you haven't stretched the envelope, right? Like you,
it's easy to say now, right? Looking back on it, but then it was really, really, I mean, there were some dark days, Matt. It was, you know,
how'd you get through those? Cause I think a lot of people can relate to whether it's dark times in your relationship, dark times, you know, in business or at your job or whatever it may be. Like we all go through really high highs in life, but it's, you know, it's always interesting to me to see how people pull themselves out of the really dark, dark times. And I'm curious, you know, with that weight.
Back then I didn't have the skill set I have today about visioning and goal setting and looking to the future. Today I've learned so much about that. Back then I didn't, but it's what I was doing. I was just looking to the future. I knew that I was, you know, I believed in myself. I believed that we could have done what we wanted to do. I believed that, you know, there would be another opportunity for me down the road. I had no idea what it would be. I actually stayed in the restaurant business for the next year. I worked as a GM of a regional chain in the restaurant business, and because that's what I knew at the time. You know, I mean, the bankruptcy at least wiped out the debt. So we started back from ground zero, had literally nothing to our names at the time. Had a home and that was it. And other than that, had nothing. And it was just starting to plug away. And it seems like that sometime around that period, my uncle gave me a copy of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right? So I read that and started thinking, you know, real estate investing seems like a smart thing right there. And at some point in the next couple of years, we had bought our first rental home, and had that and actually made some cash flow from a rental home. After about a year of staying in the restaurant business, I kind of woke up one morning and I realized I was commuting back and forth an hour each way to the restaurant where I was working each day, sometimes twice a day, because when you're the GM and someone doesn't show up or something goes wrong, guess what? You're back at the restaurant. So sometimes I'm commuting back and forth twice a day, an hour each way. I was making $50,000 a year, working probably 70 plus hours a week, and then doing the math going, this is like a minimum wage job when it all adds up, and I have no free time or bandwidth to do anything else. And I had, you know, kind of always thought about the real estate industry and just made a decision. You know, here's the other thing. Well, my ex-wife now, but my wife's time and I were 8 months pregnant with my first child. And I was like, I am going to have no time with this baby when she comes if I continue on this path. So I decided to make the leap and get into the real estate business. By this time, I had saved up some money. We had a little bit of money saved up. My wife was working, so she had a job. We had some income. I said, look, it's time to make the leap. And I explored both between the residential side of real estate and the commercial side. I had a buddy at RE/MAX that ran a successful residential group. And I had talked to him about joining his group. And my uncle had introduced me to a couple of folks in the commercial real estate side. I interviewed with this guy, and this was kind of a sales pitch. It was impressive. He said, "Look, Ken," he said, "we're a small family-owned shop here." He said, "You know, we'd love to have you come aboard and kind of learn the business." Says, "But you need to come in the commercial real estate world and plan on not making any money for probably 12 months.
Just what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, beyond that, it's going to cost you money, right? Because there's dues and there's fees and there's some software and stuff you're going to need. It's going to cost you money. And, oh, by the way, you're going to need to bring your own computer. And but we'll give you a desk and a phone, so you'll have a place to work. Give you the desk and phone. And, oh, by the way, we don't have a formal training program. And, oh, there's no draw. There's no salary. And like I said, it'll be about a year before you make any money." And somehow I said, "Sign me up." You know, I said, "Sign me up." I took a real leap of faith in believing in myself and what I could do. And he was right. He had no formal training program, nothing like that. But he was my mentor. And he was a guy I would sit in his office every day and listen to every conversation he had on the phone. And after each conversation, he was kind enough to, you know, listen to my barrage of questions. What did this mean? What did that mean? What did this mean? And I was working just nonstop. I was researching properties. I was looking it up. I was getting to know who owned what. They were mostly land brokers in a specific little submarket. And so that's what I was doing. I was researching properties, learning everything. And, you know, finally there's a guy I met. He was a developer, a land developer. This is probably 4 or 5 months into my career. And I told him, I said, "Look, I'm relatively intelligent, right? I can figure stuff out. I just don't exactly know this business yet, but I got a lot of time on my hands and I would love to help you to succeed." And he took me under his wing and he said, "Okay, look, Ken, I'm going to teach you what you need to know to go find and research properties for us. You bring me all these deals. You start bringing me deals." And I did. I started putting deal and deal and deal after in front of him. He wrote my first, you know, multi-million-dollar contract. It ended up falling out, but I was just so excited. I had like a $2.5 million contract that he had wrote for me. And then, you know, true to what Tom had said, my mentor, it was 11 months before I made my first commission check. I had that, wow. You know, I had these big deals that had come in and fallen out. Looks at just how the real estate business goes. 11 months later, I made my first commission and it was $1,837. 11 months later. And however, I had been, you know, continuously working and working and working and starting to build a pipeline of deals and putting deals in front of other people. So a month later, I had my first $20,000 commission check come in. So in the first year of business, I made the equivalent of about $22,000. We called that my substitute teacher pay, you know, salary year. But the next year, I made six figures. You know, because of the work I had put in up front, the next year I made over $100,000, and that was an awesome year. And then the next year it was bigger. And even during the downturn of 2008 and 2009 were the brutal years there. But even during the downturn, you know, I was making, you know, $100,000-$200,000 a year during the downturn because I had learned to grind it. I had learned about relationships. I've learned about providing value to people because we get paid for bringing value to others.
Yep.
And so we created new relationships during the downturn. And, you know, the commercial real estate business has grown since then. And in 2009, I was introduced to Keller Williams and, I affiliated my business with Keller Williams. And, it was, you know, 2010 family reunion in February where I heard Gary Keller up on stage. And he talked about this concept of a big why. And that's like having a purpose in your life. And that right there hit me like a load of bricks falling on my head because I had never heard that before. And Gary was talking about, you know, without having a big why, something much bigger than you pulling you through in your life, you know, it's going to be really hard to get up from the knockdowns and it's going to be really hard to accomplish great big goals because if it's just about your goal or just about you, that's not really enough to pull one through. And I kind of got a little, honestly, I got a little concerned because I had, number one, never heard the concept of this before. The closest I'd heard of that concept was I had seen the title of the book, A Purpose-Driven Life. Didn't read it, but I saw the title, yeah. Right? And that's as close as I'd gotten before. So Gary's talking about this, and it kind of got me on a journey of self-discovery. And it was about 2 years of real contemplation. Now, I'm building my business along this time as well and doing that and learning much, much more about personal development. I had discovered Tony Robbins at this time and started listening to all his CDs, which is interesting because on his CDs, he talked about them being tapes and from his old recordings. But I started listening to Tony Robbins. I started listening to Gary Keller. I started reading books during this time. And in 2012, I finally came up with my big why. And so 2 years it took me of kind of self-discovery to think through that. And in 2012, I defined my big why. And now I read it every single day as part of my affirmations. I live this world. And I'll tell you what it is. It's to be the best. I'll read it right here. It's to be the best possible example to my wife, my children, and others who may look to me for inspiration in all areas of my life, including business and personal finance, charity and benevolence, health, fitness, and adventure, leadership and personal development, love and relationships, spirituality, right? Mm. Those words matter. When I wrote them, I'll be honest, they were a little more aspirational than reality. But it's interesting. So over the years, I've kind of looked at how I'm behaving or the path I'm taking at different points of my life. And I'm like, is this in alignment with my self-proclaimed big why, right? Yeah. In alignment with that. And so I've made some pretty significant changes in my life, all to put myself in alignment with my bigger purpose right there.
It's amazing, man. And I want to talk a little bit more about how you intentionally did that and built that. And you shared some really cool stuff in regards to, you know, as you kind of jumped into this world of entrepreneurship and real estate all over again, you did have a why before you actually knew the bigger why. You did have a why was you wanted to make sure that you had time with your child that was not necessarily born yet. And that was enough to pull you through the uncertainty that entrepreneurship creates for a lot of people without that security, that guarantee. And obviously that.
And look, to be clear, so I was 32 when I had my daughter, right? So I was 32 and I was still, I felt so underprepared and not ready to be a dad. But I did know that I needed that time. I wanted the time with my baby.
Yeah. Well, and as you jumped into entrepreneurship too, you obviously did a lot of right things, even though it took you 11 months to find that, you know, first payday, $1,800 or not.
Yeah.
It was surrounding yourself with the right mentor, seeking those people out, right? And showing up, adding value to them consistently, repetition, 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 building your skills over and over until you became the person that earned that paycheck. And then obviously more consistent paychecks and created more opportunities through relationships and the ecosystem you were building. So I wanted to highlight that because when I hear about all kinds of people's entrepreneurial journeys, it is this burn the boats, leap of faith moment where there is no real guarantee of what the outcome is going to be for them, but the belief in themselves or some reason bigger than themselves is what drives them to make that decision. But then there's obviously some key things they do along the way, surrounding themselves with the right people, building the right mindset, pouring into themselves and investing in themselves and building the right habits and disciplines and tribe around them. So obviously you were doing a lot of those things. I'm curious, why commercial real estate? Why did you choose commercial over residential?
My family had been in the development business. So my uncle was actually a residential developer at the time. And it just felt right to me. I've talked to a few, now I counsel and mentor all kinds of people getting into the business. And I always ask that same question because one thing I know is I've met enough extremely successful people on the residential real estate side that the money is not a reason to get into one side or the other, right? Because you can make easily as much on the residential side as you can on the commercial side. I know enough broke commercial realtors right? Commercial real estate brokers that I know that it may look grand on one side, but reality is that's not the case. But for me, it just, I love the business side of it. I love the, in the numbers. So again, I mentioned I'm a spreadsheet junkie. So I love the kind of looking at a project and building numbers. And now as I've really gotten into it, building pro formas and models for investment and investing in commercial real estate, it just felt right to me. And I think the fact that my family had a little, you know, toehold in it, right, when I got started, helped to kind of push me in that direction as well.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think for a lot of people that are considering what path, entrepreneurial path they want to go down, you should keep in mind your unique skill set, your passions, the things that you like or don't like, you know, whether you have any existing resources, kind of like you said, you had some ties to that space a little bit, in order to see whether or not that might be most aligned or congruent with the opportunity itself that you might be pursuing. And even if there isn't, right, those are things that obviously you considered and weighed into your decision. I know for me, when I think about some of the things that I've done, it's definitely been, is this in alignment with the, you know, the life and the income and the freedom and the skills and the resources that I have and or desire? So those are always, you know, it's always good to kind of have that hit list of things that you think need to be there in order for you to pursue something. And as you continue to go down this path further and further and develop this why, you know, was it always that you had this clarity in your why and that you were, you know, very intentional about building that, or was it an accumulation over time? Because I can imagine in the beginning it was just, I need to put food on the table, I need to grind, I need to build a business. Or were you living intentionally and balanced in all of those pillars that you talked about in your life?
No, I've always not at all quite balanced in those pillars. And frankly, just when I discovered that, I mean, it was only one business. And the only one business I had was real estate brokerage. And I was pouring into that. You know, in that time.
So you were all in on your business. I mean, we talk in just 80, 90 hours a week, whatever you had to do to make it happen.
Yes. However, you got to keep in mind, I had, so not 80, 90 hours, but yes, 60 to 70 hours in there. And it's interesting, right? Because when you love what you're doing, you're kind of, I mean, I'm not counting the hours where I'm thinking at home when I'm doing these kind of things, because there's always that. However, it's been important to me to balance it with my family and with spending the time with my kids and balance that. But I for sure have grinded it out and put the time into the business and put the time into myself, right? Learned, I study a lot. I go to conferences, events. It pays off. I remember I had a client tell me one time, he said, Ken, you must be the smartest guy I know because you're always at some kind of conference or event. And I try to take that as a compliment, not as a, hey, you should be working. Because you know what I do know, I can connect the dots and point to so many different opportunities that have come to me from being at different conferences, events, or serving on different boards that have introduced me to people over the years. And so I, in addition to spending the time just, you know, literally building the business, it's been building me as a person as well. And important that, while at the same time making sure that I'm taking care of my family. I still love, Gary Keller had an analogy one time that I thought was great. He looked at business and life. It's a couple of balls that you were juggling, right? And he said, look at, you know, business is kind of a rubber ball. If you drop that one, if you don't pay enough attention, it'll kind of bounce up off the ground. It might not bounce as high as it did for a little while, but it'll bounce up there. But if you drop your family ball, it's a glass ball. If you really fall off the mark on that and drop that, it's glass. And it can shatter and might never get put back together the way it was. And that was a really important concept for me. And I've realized that as a concept ever since I was a dad. So there's a certain balance that's really important on the family side.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel that struggle, right, between, and whether you have kids or not, or whether you have a relationship or not, they feel that need to go all in on business, right? You hear the Gary V's and you hear all kinds of people talking about how you got to go all in or else it's not going to be successful. And then when you do go all in, all of a sudden you see your health kind of get put on the back burner. You see some of the other friendships or relationships with your partner, your kids maybe decrease a little bit. You see some of the other areas get sacrificed in order for that to happen. Is that necessary? And if, you know, it is, right? How long is that necessary? And how do you still give some attention to these other areas so you don't become bankrupt in them in your pursuit of being wealthy and rich in your business or your career?
I think at a certain level, it's 100% necessary, right? To go all in.
I agree.
It's 100% necessary to go all in and dive in. The best answer I have for how do you kind of protect on the other side of the family, number one is to explain to them what you're doing and why you're doing it for, and make sure to the best you can to get buy-in from them. Like I'm launching a new business right now, and we are so all in on this. It's nonstop, morning to night, thinking through how to grow, how to execute, how to everything. But my kids are aware of it. My wife's aware of it. Everyone is aware of it, that this is what we're doing. And here's why we're doing it, right? I think it's, some people can get lost in just we're doing it for the vanity, the success or the money or other things. If you can tie it to the why, we can help thousands or tens of thousands or millions of people by doing this, in figuring this kind of stuff out, and we can change lives. I think that's the best thing I've found is just to be able to share with my family the why and get their buy-in into the why behind it. And honestly, like groups like Fambundance has really helped that, right? We come together and actually talk about goals and envisioning goals together as a family. It's been a massive game changer to bring us together and all on the same page.
That's amazing. And I think that is so important. And I agree, right? Because I hear a lot of people go, oh, you don't have to go. You can have it all. And I look at if I wasn't working 80 hours a week and I wasn't all in on my business, not only would it have taken me a whole lot longer to get to where I wanted to go, but also at the same time, I don't even know if it would have gotten to the level where I typically
might not get there.
Yeah. And so you do have to go all in. And it's okay for other areas to maybe lose a little bit of your attention, but it shouldn't change your intention of those things still being a top priority in your life. And I love what you said. If you can communicate upfront and get that buy-in and get that support from the people that you love and care about most, and there's ways that by being very proactive in your communication or knowing what season of life you're kind of going into, you can plan and prepare if you're intentional about it, right? To get the support that you need from, say, your community or your family or your spouse or partner, to also make sure that maybe your health doesn't completely get neglected and that you can work in certain things while still being all in on your business. Or
your health can't get neglected. I mean, that's, you and I are on the same page, I know, on this one. Your health, when you have that in place, you've got the energy to be all in the work, right? I was listening to a podcast actually with John Vroman and John Berghoff. It was amazing, Front Row Dad's podcast. And Vroman made the comment of Berghoff taking him out for a run, and after a very, very long travel day for Vroman. And Berghoff said, "Hey, we're not going for a run because you have energy. We're going for a run to bring you energy." I love that comment. Because it's so true, right? When we're the health, the exercise component, it brings us energy. It absolutely, it may take a minute to get started with it, but I mean, I'm living this world. When we do, it brings us energy and helps us to be even more effective during our day.
Well, there's one thing that I think about too when it comes to health is that I tell myself this is, if you have the mental discipline, even when you don't want to, go get in the gym or go for a walk or to maybe not eat the thing that you want to eat that it's convenient, but maybe go for the thing that's a little bit more healthy. That mental discipline leads to the physical discipline, right? And vice versa, the physical discipline that by doing those things actually leads back and reinforces mental discipline. And it's like this nice yin and yang and this dance that you can do, and you can apply that mental discipline and physical discipline in areas of your business or areas of your relationship or really in any pillar of your life, right?
That's exactly right. And it gives you the confidence, right? When you're doing that, okay, you know, the journey I'm on a fitness journey right now. Today is 110 days of nonstop exercise. It's 110 days. And having this daily commitment on it right now is a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. Guess what? When you're exercising regularly every single day, you tend to make really good decisions for what you're eating. One thing leads right into another. And then when you're doing that, we make good decisions in what I need to be doing in business. What are my priorities that I need to do to grow the business? So it all relates to each other.
So as you have continued to live this intentional life, you know, what are some of the challenges, right? Like, we can sit here and talk about, oh, you know, I got this great health. I got this great family. I'm a great dad. I'm a great husband. I got a great business. I get to give back to charities and go on all kinds of fun bucket list adventures. What's the challenge that you have run into with all of this, or that you've seen yourself kind of have some of those breakdowns along the way that, you know, people can relate to and understand that, you know, this ain't all sunshine and roses in pursuit of living your rich, fulfilling, wealthiest, happiest, healthiest life?
Sure. I'm leading a path that I don't recommend a lot of people lead. However, I know a fair amount of entrepreneurs that do lead this path. And that's starting multiple businesses. Okay, so starting multiple businesses. So we have, of course, a commercial real estate brokerage, and we have
investment. And one, for those that know, does extremely, massively, successfully well.
Yeah,
in a nationwide context.
Yep, we sell shopping centers and single tenant income producing retail and healthcare assets, and love that business. So we've got that business. Then I've got real estate franchise with KW. We are launching a laundromat. So in fact, we're in construction for our first laundromat right now. And so that the intent on that is to build many, many, many laundromats. I've got a couple partners in the laundromat business that we're moving into, and that parlays into the real estate investment side, because we're buying the shopping centers that our laundromats will operate in. So that's work on that side. My wife has a successful residential real estate practice she's running. So that's us running that as well. And then launching Legacy of Love, our newest endeavor, which is really my passion project that I love so much. Yet that one of all of them is the one that, okay, I know the passion, I know the intent, I know all of this, but it's in the digital space, right? It's a software as a service, digital marketing, a whole new industry and new space. So what are the challenges? Part of it is I don't know what the heck I am doing in some of this when it comes down to it. And there is a mental drain just trying to figure out and learn something new when I don't know it. It's one thing when you've got it, right? This is the business I've been running forever. I know this business. I've got the people in place to help run it. It's another when you're in a startup. So both, actually, there's two sides. The laundromat is a total startup and new business, although I've got a managing partner that's running the operations of that, so that helps. But then with Legacy, it's me. It's my baby, and it's a whole new world that I'm figuring out. And so while that is super fun in part of it, it's super stressful in another part, just to figure out what the path looks like, because our goal into that is to literally reach 10 million lives, right? We want to affect 10 million families over this, and that's just a baffling goal to think about it. But you look at other products and things, and it's like, oh, yeah, this one's done it, this one's done it, this one's done it. Yet step one for me is, okay, well, how do we get to 10,000 first? How do we get to 1,000 and then 10,000? How do we hit these little incremental steps? And it's a journey. So my stress is just figuring out how to grow a brand new business.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Well, and that's, I think, something everybody can relate to, because we all have all these ideas and then we want to get in and execute them. And sometimes we don't necessarily take an action on them. And one thing I love about Ken is he's a massive action taker in all areas of his life. And, you know, to highlight why you are in a position you're in is you're surrounded with amazing people. I don't think you would give yourself permission to go and start Legacy of Love or a laundromat if your core business of commercial real estate and your franchises weren't being run and taken care of by highly talented individuals on your team.
Yeah. That's right? Having a great team. I mean, I couldn't do any of it without having a phenomenal team, right? I could do a few transactions on my own and that would be it. Having the team is leverage to think. It frees up the space that we can think on big picture and that we can think on strategy, and having a team that supports next year. So now I have a phenomenal team in-house here in Fort Worth, in Abilene, where our franchise is. And then I've got a VA that's been with me for 5 years in the Philippines, who frankly does, you know, the equivalent of like 3 full-time jobs. She's absolutely amazing and she's a part of our family. And so yes, we've got a phenomenal team that helps get everything done.
And, you know, at the same time, I talk a lot about this with a lot of my consulting clients is, have you earned the right to go do what you're trying to do? And I think a lot of people, they see other individuals doing multiple things, or they see other individuals, you know, scale their business through a team when maybe they haven't earned the right to do that yet. When there is, yes, there are ways that we want to, you know, shorten the process and skip some of these things, hack our way to getting to where we want to go a little bit faster. But at the same time, we have to prove to ourselves through sustaining skills and habits and becoming somebody who can, you know, get that on a consistent basis in our life to be able to earn our way out of that and go do other kind of things and opportunities, right? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs or just individuals in general, they feel like they are entitled to the result, maybe because they are a hard worker, they're working 90 hours a week. But if you don't earn the right by doing the right things and becoming the right person and adopting the right mindset and surrounding yourself with the right people, and right, the list goes on and on and on, then one, you're not going to sustain those results. And two, you're not going to scale those results. And three, you're not going to earn your way to doing the next thing. So I look at you, Ken, and I just go, man, this guy's earned his way into this amazing life because of the hard work that you've done with the right people that you surrounded yourself with, the investment in yourself of going to the, you know, right conferences and events and masterminds, building the right habits and disciplines. And now you have this amazing business that kicks off a lot of cash flow and some passive income with your assets, but then also gives you the right to go and, you know, invest in other passion projects and things that you're real excited about with, let's say, Legacy of Love. And you're here building something that is really exciting to you. You're also saying, hey, you know, I don't want to spread myself too thin at times. What are some of your biggest challenges with this new business that you're kicking off, being that it is a new space? And how are you guys getting around this? And share a little bit more about what Legacy of Love is.
Sure. So the big challenge of it. Big challenge is just, it's a new space. Unlike some, I am not a millennial, so I'm 48 right now. And you know, well, I started using Facebook when it came out as a basic program, I am not highly skilled in social media marketing and really understanding the algorithms of how post and data gets put out to everything. So my biggest challenge is figuring some of that out. So figuring out the online digital marketing space. What am I doing to solve that? And that is, I'm talking to a lot of people. I've got, we have an ads agency that's helping us do some Facebook ads on things, but I'm also just talking to a lot of folks that are, they're in and understand it. I'm actually working with my children who are 15 and 16 years old to do some work for us on the digital side of things. But what is Legacy of Love? It's my 15-year passion project is what it is. So I told the story about, I went into the real estate business right out of the restaurant business. And so when Grace was 1 year old and my now almost 15-year-old son Knox was in the womb, I started journaling to each child. And I just wanted, I wanted a way to save lessons and memories and kind of capture some memories. I had been given a beautiful gift when I turned 30 from my stepmother. She gave me a scrapbook, because scrapbooking was a big thing back then, and gave me a leather-bound scrapbook. You know, first picture in there was my baby picture. And then there's just pictures of family vacations, of camping trips, of just places we would go, and old family members, people that are no longer living anymore, with stories written in the margins. It was the most beautiful gift I'd ever received. And it was super impactful. In fact, I still have it today, of course. And my stepmom passed away about 5 years later after she gave me that gift. She passed away from lost a battle with cancer. And so that's like a living testament to her love. I've treasured it. So I wanted to do something for my kids like that. I'm not a scrapbooker. I thought, what could I do? I said, I can journal. I like to write. I can write to them. And I just thought, do I write in a handwritten hard copy journal, or which I like to do that, or do I write in a digital format? And frankly, the fact that I can type faster than I can write physically is why I chose a digital journal. So I started in a Word doc, and I made a commitment. I wanted something that I could stick to. So I said, I'm not going to commit to a daily or even a weekly thing, but monthly, I can commit to one entry per month, right? That was livable for me. So I just wrote one entry per month per kid. And fortuitously, I started each one with certainly the date, but their age and my age, right? So that we could later read in context of what was going on in our lives at how old we were. And it's been just this beautiful story of their lives and of our life together. And it's been everything from just simple little documenting what they're doing and, you know, their little milestones in their life, how they're growing up, to like, look, you're in the school play, documenting this kind of stuff, and recounting all of our family vacations day by day. I've done that. And then it's gotten deep, right? It took me through the financial meltdown of 2008-2009 and, yeah, that was a whole other mess. You know, we'd already survived bankruptcy, which I really have never journaled about because that was prior to them being born. But, you know, the financial crisis, I mean, it was its own issue. We still made some good money, but I was leveraged up at the time. And so we had to go through another reset during that time that took a while to come out of. And I wrote about that to them and the lessons that I was learning through that process. I journaled about my divorce from their mom and what that meant and all the ins and outs that come along with that. And then later the remarriage to Amber and having a blended household and the challenges that we would receive. So I've written about all those challenges. I took a picture of my first $100,000 commission check, right? And put it in their journal entry and wrote about it, the feeling and what it took to get that. And it's been this amazing story. And over the years I shared with you years ago, this process I've told hundreds and hundreds, mostly dads, but also a lot of moms. And I've had dozens of people that have started journaling to their own children as a result of my stories and telling them this. And I had a lot of people encouraging me, said, Ken, you should do something with that. You should create a product and get it out there so that the world can be doing what you're doing and capturing their memories for their own children, passing that down to future generations. And so after enough prodding, and I had thought about it for a while, but right, we talked about building these different businesses. I didn't have the space to do it.
Yeah.
I finally got my businesses into a place and created the space in my world that I could do it. So for the past, you know, over a year now, I've been in design and development of what's become Legacy of Love. And we released the web-based version of it in February. We are about to move into beta of the iOS and Android apps. And then from there, the tablet, iOS and Android tablet apps from there. And so we've got this very live, real product. And we've got, you know, a couple hundred people so far that are using it and journaling and creating these memories for their own family. It's really, really cool because we built it to have all of these things that I envisioned that it might have. And so we can capture certainly text where you're telling the stories, but we can capture photo, we can capture video, we can save voicemails into there. So, I remember when Knox, who's now 15, he left me some of the sweetest voicemails when he was a little kid. It would just melt my heart. Hi, Daddy. And it was just so sweet. And I would save them forever, but they're gone. I don't know what happened to them. They're, you know, iOS update or phone update or something, they're gone. I don't have them anymore. But now I've got a place where parents can save those little things and write a note about how special it made. You know, if you're having a really crappy day and you get this sweet voicemail from your kid, right? Nothing better. It totally changes everything for your day right there. And so I've created a place where you can save that and tell your kids about what a difference it made. And so anyway, photos, videos, we can create interviews. It's really cool because we do year-end interviews in our house. And I've asked the kids the same series of questions for about 9 years now. And it's so cool to see year over year how their answers change and how they go from little squeaky voices to where they are now. And so we built that functionality into the app where you can kind of create your own series of interview questions, whether it's, you know, beginning of school, end of year, whatever. That's kind of built into the program where you can do that. And then the coolest thing that we built in was a way to capture milestone events, right? You tag any entry as a milestone. It's in essence a different kind of tag of any entry. So I'll give you an example for my son Kai, who's now 3. His first milestone entry was his sonogram. I got a picture of his sonogram when he's a little bean in his mama's belly. And I just told a little story about, you know, the doctor's visit and, of course, who the doctor was and the excitement we were feeling, the cravings his mom was having and all this stuff. And then, you know, the next milestone event is the day he was born. And then, you know, the next milestone event is the day he rolled over. And then the next milestone event is where he started walking with a little walker and so on and so on and so on. All the way through, I think his most recent now was sleeping in his own bed, which was a lie because that happened for about a week. Now he's back. So, but in any case, I've got a visual timeline of all of these major events in his life. It's like the modern day growth chart, right? Where our parents used to mark in the closet how big we were growing year by year by year. And this is like the modern day growth chart, right? Where you can visually see the little events in your child's life as they go on. And it's such a cool and powerful thing to be able to do.
It's so awesome. I remember the first time I was starting to, I think I was 25 at the time. And no, I was 20. Let's see. I was 26 or 27 at the time when you and I were in Vietnam on a mastermind group trip that we're a part of called Go Abundance. And Ken every single day was just journaling like a madman, you know, and I was starting to get more into it. And, you know, journaling just wasn't something that one, I had a lot of people doing around me or, you know, telling me why I should be doing or what the benefits of it were. But I started seeing right through proximity to other high achievers and players, started picking up and learning some of these things. And I started seeing Ken just journaling every single day. And we're sitting in the back of the bus on the way from central Vietnam all the way down to southern Vietnam. And, you know, I asked him, what the heck are you doing, man? And he starts sharing with me about what he's been doing with this journaling process for, you know, the last, I don't know, at that time it was what your daughter
12,
was like
12 13 12, years
12 13 years yeah. And I thought, what an amazing gift to not only be able to give your child or really anybody that you care about, right, this outlook, this set of lenses into the journey of being a part of their life and what that relationship looks like and kind of give them that perspective, but also to the power that I've seen through this as I've implemented it with my two daughters and in my own life and in my relationships is the enhanced awareness and the enhanced intentionality about how I engage and play full out in my own life and how, you know, as our buddy John Vroman would say, how I have played in the front row of life instead of just letting day by day go by, which is so damn easy with everything that we got going on nowadays and how busy we are, to stop and actually, you know, capture and document those little things. Going back into a lot of my entries now and seeing a lot of the growth that's been covered, a lot of the challenges that I've been through, that I've been overcome, the wins that I've had, the memories that have been shared, the experiences that have been created. Man, I mean, you talk about really being integrated and playing full out in your own life and in other people's lives. This one tool has been an amazing kind of catalyst for me. And so that's why I wanted to, you know, bring Ken on to share how cool the Legacy of Love app is. And guys, it's really awesome. I wouldn't even be endorsing it if I hadn't checked it out and I hadn't used it myself. And so we'll be sure to put a link in the show notes for anybody that does want to check it out.
We'll also have a discount code in the show notes as well. So that if it's a free app, it's a freemium product, right? So anyone that wants it, go sign up for free. It's totally available. Some additional features are premium features. If you want all the features, there are our premium accounts, and we'll give a discount for those as well in the show notes.
That's awesome, Ken. Well, as always, brother, I appreciate every time you and I get to have a conversation. You always bring so much value to my life for sharing. I really want to thank you for sharing all of the amazing things that, you know, you learned along your journey, but also some of the cool stuff that you're working on, because I don't endorse a lot of stuff on the show very often, but being that I'm a intentional husband, intentional father, trying to always be intentional in my relationships. Anytime I get something that is a tool, is kind of a an X factor in allowing me to level up in that, I want to, you know, shout out the rooftop so other people that are intentional husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and community leaders, grandparents, you name it, anybody, right? And you're looking for tools and resources that help you enhance those superpowers or enhance that intentionality or awareness. I want to make sure that I can, you know, share that, because this is pure value. I get nothing from this whatsoever, except for the fact that you hopefully will get some amazing ahas and breakthroughs and, you know, nuggets in your own life and in your own journey of your own relationships, right? So, Ken, as we wrap this up, I want to wrap it up with the Rich and Fulfilling Five. It's really five questions that I like to ask to get an insight into your mindset and belief on some of these questions. You ready, brother?
Okay, ready.
All right, if you had $1 million right now and you have to invest it, what would you do with it and why?
I'd buy our next few shopping centers for Laundry Club right now. So I know where we're going. So I'd use that as down payment money to go buy our next few shopping centers where we're going to locate our next few, because I know I've got a built-in tenant. I'd go buy it at a discount and bring our tenant in there.
I love it. So using your own existing resources, relationships, knowledge to go out, build some more wealth and build and scale your businesses. I love it. What's the most influential relationship you've had in the last year and why?
I've got some wonderful ones, but honestly, it's the growth with my wife. Mm. We've taken classes together, couples kind of classes together. We're in FamBundance together. She supported me through my GoBundance endeavors. Just our growth together as husband and wife, it's hands down been the most beneficial to me. I feel like our relationship is incredibly strong. I feel like we're a wonderful example to our children, both from a blended family perspective and our own child and Kai, and hands down the most important relationship for me.
Amazing, man. That's a great answer right there. If you were given 2 weeks to live, what's your top one or two bucket list items that you would want to check off? That can be anything. Travel, like be sitting at home with your family. What would you want to be doing with your last 2 weeks?
I think I would go back where I was a few years ago and bringing my family. That would be to the Grand Tetons and spend that 2 weeks with my family, just in the most beautiful place in nature, and just appreciating the time with them. Mm. It would, and at the same time, every evening I'd be docking stories. I would be recording stories of my life, so that would be there for future generations.
Man, talk about a legacy. Number one habit or muscle or discipline that you have really developed that has served you at the highest level over your entire life, career, business?
Honestly, I think it's waking up early and starting my day with intentionality. Mm. And I wake up at usually 3:45 in the morning, and I will go through some form or fashion of miracle morning. I will some days get all the steps. Some days I'll focus on just a few. But I do that every day. That has been a game changer for me. And as I mentioned earlier, now the exercise component of it is really baked into that. And it has me so focused and aware. So by the time most people even wake up, I've gone through all of this and I've planned my entire day. I've looked at what are my priorities for the day. I know. And most people are waking up going, oh, what do I do? So
it's funny when people say, oh, you know, it's 9 o'clock. How are things going? You know, I'm just getting into the office. I always tell them, man, that's my lunchtime.
Yeah, well, the Army used to have a commercial, right? And it said, we get more done before 9 a.m. By 9 a.m., the most people get done all day. That's how I feel about my life.
Yeah. What's being that you're a very intentional guy who's built a lot of habits and disciplines, what's the number one habit or discipline that you're working on strengthening this year?
Regular date nights. Mm. Okay, because I'm not – and this is both with my – I feel like – I do a pretty good job of being intentional and aware and connected, but I'm not great about regular, like having it on the schedule, going and committing to one-on-one date nights. We do a lot of stuff with different people, but to one-on-one date nights, and not just with my wife, but with my children as well, mm-hmm. right? To have the one-on-one time with each child, not just as a group, but the one-on-one, kind of the board meeting style from Jim Shields.
Yep.
And so I continue to want to improve that habit.
That's a great one, man. Intentional in all relationships that you're working on, brother. It's amazing stuff. Well, I want to thank you again. For those that want to check out Legacy of Love app, we will have links in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. If they want to follow more of what you're up to, Ken, or they want to go check out the Legacy of Love app, on the internet, where's the best place for them to do that?
Yep, we're on Instagram, Legacy of Love app. We're on Facebook, Legacy of Love app. Also, you follow Ken Wemberly. It's at KF Wemberly is the public figure Facebook profile. Follow me there, or personal, and just follow Ken Wemberly on Facebook.
Ken, as always, brother. Always got a lot of love for you, man, everything that you're up to. If you would leave our audience with one piece of knowledge or advice that has allowed you to really unlock what you believe is your most rich and fulfilling life, what would you share with them?
Read something positive every single day. Okay, pick up a book and read something to improve your life, your relationships, your business, your wellness, anything like that, because the amount we can learn in books is absolutely amazing. And then the books will lead us to more questions that will really unlock the doors. Mm.
More books, more knowledge, ask high quality questions, you get high quality answers. You heard it from Ken Wemberly. As always, brother, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, my man.
Well, that does it for today's interview. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the conversation as much as I enjoyed having it, I invite you to tag a friend, to share this interview with somebody, because we all know that it could be just one
piece of information, one aha, one strategy, one tool or resource maybe that we talked about that could completely transform someone's life, your own life. And my invite to you is to take something that you learned today and implement it. It's one thing to learn and educate yourself. It's another thing to implement these things and take action on them, right? Because one little thing could completely transform the path that you're on. And that's what this show is all about. So with that being said, I invite you to like this interview, to comment on it, to tag a friend, to share it with somebody, because that is how we can continue to make a greater impact on others who don't necessarily have access to this information or maybe seeking it and don't necessarily know where to find it. So if you're not subscribed on YouTube, if you're not subscribed on iTunes, if you're not subscribed on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, whatever platform you prefer to listen through, I invite you to subscribe. And one of the ways we continue to spread and share this amazing message with as many people as we possibly can, make this impact, is through you, is by getting out this free conversation. We're only as great as the people we get to share it with. So with that being said, if you leave a review and you help us connect with as many people as possible, let iTunes, let all these platforms know that this is quality content. I would be grateful and honored if you take 30 seconds to go ahead and do that. I also want to wrap up by giving a big thank you to our sponsor, the Rich Life Academy. That is a community of peers, of mentors, of coaches that are working with one another to increase their income, their impact, their influence in their respective lives and their respective businesses. Many people don't have access to this kind of information, this kind of support, this kind of accountability and goal setting. So if you want more information on how to increase your income, increase your impact, increase your influence within the Rich Life Academy, be sure to head over to therichlifeacademy.com. for more information, as well as getting more information on real estate investing training. We get a lot of questions on that of people going, I want to increase my wealth through this vehicle. 90% of millionaires become so through owning real estate. Therefore, this is a very interesting topic for many people, but they don't know where to start. So I host a free training each and every week, and you can sign up for that free training at go.sixfigureflipper.com/registration. That's the number six. So that's go.sixfigureflipper.com/registration. All the links that I just talked about will be in the show notes and in the show description. Until next time, remember, keep investing in yourself, keep investing in your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.